The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 391, Aunt B, Just the Facts. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers, they got some great Mayberry items. You might enjoy the Mayberry postmarks. That's a bunch of note cards, postcards that you can send to people with all kinds of Mayberry stuff on the front. If you don't like that, head over and check out the Mayberry Trivia Book by Scott Hopkins. Great book. It's got 1,500 trivia questions. And don't forget to get your 2017 Andy Griffith Show calendar over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And it is awesome to be in Mayberry with you. I just spent this past weekend in Troy, North Carolina, doing a Mayberry event with our good buddy Jeff Branch, who puts on that event in Troy, and a bunch of tribute artists were there. The big person that was there was Maggie Peterson, Charlene. And I don't mean big, I mean a star, not big. Anyway, don't start any rumors. But Maggie was awesome. She was great. Great job she did. We also had the VW Boys, the ones we always get our music from. I love the VW Boys. They are so fun to listen to and just hear. You know, they're the ones that play our background music like this. That's the VW Boys. I want to thank them for allowing me to play their music here on the podcast. And I want to thank them for just letting us be a part of their show this past weekend. It was a great event. The Mayberry stuff and the VW Boys just go hand in hand. And so it was great being with all my Mayberry friends. Missed everybody that wasn't there. I got to meet several folks that enjoy the podcast. I want to thank them for coming up and saying hi to me. And it was just a lot of fun. So this week, what we're going to be talking about, because I realized that I didn't think it was that long ago, but we've been doing this podcast a long time, I guess. Because I realized that, back in, April the 10th, 2012, we did an episode called Andy, Just the Facts. And before that, I believe I had done one, Barney. I did Barney first. So it was episode number 183, Just the Facts, from back April 10th, 2012. And I did 179 that was Barney, Just the Facts. And, I thought that was kind of recent that I had done these things until I started looking back and realizing, oh my goodness, it's been that long. Because my intent had always been to do a series of podcasts about some of the Mayberry facts. That's Mayberry frequently asked questions. Okay, so if y'all have never seen that, if you head over to Mayberry.info, if you're at Mayberry.info, there is a section there that says Mayberry FAQs. Now, you don't have to go directly to mayberry.info. If you're at, the imayberry.com website, if you go there, there's a section. If you scroll down just a little bit on the right side of the page, it says frequently asked questions right there on the right side of the page. It's about 10 things down on that little list. And if you go to it, it'll take you directly to the website there for the iMayberry community, not iMayberry community, the Mayberry.info, where you'll find Mayberry facts. Now, when you get there, there's all kinds of stuff there, frequently asked questions that we've collected over the years. So today, or tonight, whenever you're listening to this podcast, we're going to cover, what did I call it? Aunt B, Just the Facts. Okay, so we're going to go over some of the questions. Hope you're going to enjoy this. I think I'll play a little bit of, you got me hungry for VW Boys background music now. So let's see here. Let's play something kind of sporty here. What about this? No, that don't sound Aunt B-like, does it? Let's try... let's just go with this one. This sounds more Aunt B a little bit. There we go. That's a little better Aunt B music. So let's go and go through some of the just the facts from about Aunt B. Okay, so let's check these out. So here's the question. How do you spell Aunt B's name? Well, the correct spelling for all you folks out there, this is a stickler for so many Mayberry fans because we know how it's supposed to be spelled. Her name is spelled B-E-E. Please help us try to correct the spelling because many people want to spell it B-E-A. The spelling can be seen in a couple of episodes to confirm that's the way you actually spell it, B-E-E. Okay? It's in a couple of episodes. They're color. When she had a Chinese restaurant, you remember that one? Aunt B's restaurant is episode number 209. You can see it spelled there. And when she ran for city council, you remember when she was running for council? It was in the episode Politics Begin at Home. That was episode number 200. The spelling can also be seen in the closing credits of almost every episode of The Andy Griffith Show. Sure, I understand this. B-E-E is short for Beatrice. Okay, it really is. But she's, you know, and B-E-A is also short for Beatrice. But Aunt B spelled her name B-E-E. You know, I guess if you can get Bill from the name William or Jim from the name James, you can get B-E-E from Beatrice. So B-E-E-B is listed as a short form of Beatrice in the name book. It's a book you can look at. The name book, it lists the names for expecting parents. B-E-E is listed as a short form of Beatrice as well. So you can have it B-E-A. I know there are people that do it that way. But trust me, Aunt B spelled her name B-E-E. All right, so that was a little pet peeve issue there that I notice a lot. The people, I like, whenever I see anybody spell it B-E-A, I go, oh, yeah, they're not big enough fans. They don't know how to spell her name. So don't be one. All right, next up. This is a good one. Aunt B speaks the lines in an episode. She speaks these lines. Mum's my name. Silence is my game. Tick a lock. In which episode does she speak these words? Oh, where does she talk about them? This is almost like a trivia question, but it's not. Those lines come up. They come from episode number 111, Andy's Vacation. That's where they come from. Mum's my name. Silence is my game. Tick a lock. She says, and makes a motion like she's locking her lips. Okay. It's on Andy's Vacation when Andy decides to head up into the mountains by himself for a few days. The dialogue goes something like this. Andy says, remember now, not a word about where I've gone. And Aunt B says, silence is my game. Mom's my name. Tick a lock. Something like that. Sounds a lot better. Barney also says Tickle-Lock in High Noon in Mayberry, and Otis says it in Hot Rod Otis. Thank you to Paul Mulick, our trivia expert, for giving us some of that information right there. So that's a good job, Paul. Great job. Let's see. Let's go to our next question here. Not question, but frequently asked question. This one is, Aunt B one time said Opie was coming down with a pip. What is the pip? That is a great answer. And let me tell you, we got this answer right from the horse's mouth, from the writer of the episode himself, Harvey Bullock. He says, Dear Alan, a dedicated Andy Griffith Show person wrote you referring to the scene at the dinner table in Opie the Birdman, wherein Opie seems to have lost his appetite. Actually, he's distraught about the bird he killed. And Aunt B does her best to minimize by saying about Opie, probably just has the pip. And the question is, what is the pip? Is what Harvey says. Well, here's his answer. He says, I first heard the word from my wife who grew up in Michigan. I thought it was a hoot. I couldn't wait to get it into an episode. She says it's a catch-all word for any general malaise, a lethargy, if you're lethargic, almost anything like that. If there wasn't a medical term for anyone's ails, you could say your sick friend had the pip, P-I-P is the way it's spelled, and you had the situation covered nicely. Yeah, he's got the pip. It's also in the lyrics of a good old country song called Life Do Get Jest Don't It. Life Do Get Jest Don't It. Life to get. Anyway, I don't know the country song, so you guys can tell me how it says it. It's actually spelled Life to Get T Jest Don't It. I don't know what that stands for. But that's what it says. I'm reading it. Anyway, that is the answer from Harvey Bullock, the writer of Opie the Birdman. So that's what the pip is. It's a word his wife came up with or used to indicate any kind of illness that there's no medical term for it. So if you're kind of feeling sick and you don't know what it is, you say, I got the pip. So now use it every day and it'll become a part of your language. There you go. All right. Okay, here's the next one. Aunt B was Andy's father's sister. Okay. Because they have the same last names. So Aunt B Taylor must have been Andy Taylor's father's sister. You got that? So Andy's daddy and Aunt B were brother and sister. Since Barney's last name is different, but he still calls B Aunt, his mother was probably their sister as well. Is that true? Well, okay, let's check this one out. Here's what we say. Now, not quite, okay? So we learn in Aunt B's Invisible Bow that Aunt B is not Barney's aunt. We're told that. Because he says, if she is my aunt, I don't know what I do, okay? Because he says, boy, for the life of me, I can't figure you out, Andy. If Aunt B was my aunt, I wouldn't be staring out windows. I'd get in the car and drive straight over to Mount Pilot. I'd get into that, get that Hendrix out in the alley and pow. Okay. That's what he said. So Barney's Aunt B is not really Barney's aunt. In other episodes, Barney refers to his mother's side of the family as if Andy does not know them, doesn't know them at all. Okay. For example, a good example is in Cousin Virgil. When Barney says, you're really going to like my cousin Virgil. He comes from my mother's side of the family. They're the fun ones. Okay, so the correct relationship must be this. Andy's mother is the sister of Barney's father, assuming that they are first cousins. Okay, so that's our theory right now. So Andy's mother and Barney's father must be siblings. Okay, got it? So that's how that comes, because Andy and Barney if they are first cousins, because remember on the first few episodes, Barney referred to himself as, or Andy as Cousin Andy. So if they're really cousins, then Andy's mother and Barney's daddy must be brother and sister. Okay. All right. There you go. Now, what's your theory? I'd love to hear your theory. That's our theory here on the podcast. All right, here's the next question and answer for you. How many other characters besides Opie, of course, call B Aunt? Don't Goober and Gomer call her Aunt? Well, all right. Just about everyone in Mayberry who is younger than Aunt B calls her Aunt B. Most folks who are close to her own age, however, you know, like Clara and Floyd and Mr. Foley, they usually call her B, or in once in a while, Beatrice. Okay, so most people who are younger than Aunt B say Aunt B. But everybody that's contemporary to her age, they usually call her B. Floyd definitely called her B. Clara called her B. So there you go. Now, I know I grew up in a small town, and there were a lot of older gentlemen that everybody called Uncle Henry, or whatever their name might be. Everybody called him that, even though they weren't really their uncle, but they were older gentlemen and everybody called him that. So I think that may be a Southern thing, maybe a small town Southern thing even. But anyway, there's our answer. So everybody younger than Aunt B tended to call her Aunt B and not just B or Beatrice. Okay. All right. Next answer and question. Here we go. Has anyone noticed that the stove in Aunt B's kitchen never has all the burners turned off when she's not cooking? In Romeo and Juliet, she was not cooking anything, but the knobs on the stove were turned on. Well, we got a conspiracy going right here. That's what this is. Okay, so here's the answer we've got, okay? Now, how come I never noticed that? It's a good observation. Aunt B must be one of those special combination ovens. That must be what she's got. In the pickle story, Andy and Barney smell something suspicious, which prompts Andy to ask, "You don't reckon that gas stove's a leaking?" Okay, so it's a gas stove. In episodes in which the stove can be seen, it's clearly an electric stove. The courthouse is also equipped with some sort of a prototype multi-fuel heating system, because in some episodes, they heat with steam. And in other episodes, they use a gas heater. We learn in Opie and the Rich Kid, the Spoiled Kid, in Opie and the Spoiled Kid, we learn that there's a woodshed out behind the courthouse, which seems to indicate that they have an unseen fireplace or a wood stove somewhere on the premises of the courthouse. Then, in The Luck of Newton Monroe, if you remember that episode, Barney sends Newton down in the basement to clean out the furnace. And judging by the huge cloud of black smoke that pours out of the vents, they must have a coal-burning furnace or something. Okay, so there you go. So there we go. We got all kinds of things in Mayberry that do not behave as expected, is what I'm telling you. So we got a stove in Aunt B's kitchen that sometimes is gas and sometimes is electric, but evidently none of the knobs are ever turned correctly. So there's your problem. So anyway, and then we also have the courthouse where we have an issue as well. Okay, so I got a couple of more of these, three more actually. All right, so next up, let's go with was Aunt B's bedroom ever shown in an episode? Was Aunt B's bedroom ever shown in an episode? In episode number 125, The Rumor, they fixed up Andy's room when they thought he and Helen were going to get married. Remember that? When it turned out that they didn't get married, Aunt B took the room for herself. Remember that? So kind of you saw a room there. So her bedroom has been seen in that episode. It is seen in a few color episodes too. In one where she dates ex-congressman, Andy enters her room and finds her soaking her feet in a pan of water. And we also see the room in Baby in the House and Lost and Found, the one where she lost a valuable piece of jewelry. We saw that one. And we also saw it, and I can't remember the name of the episode, but when Otis was crawling around down on the ground and Aunt B heard him, she got up out of bed and opened the window and he started meowing like a cat and she threw a pot of flowers on him or something. Remember that? That's another time we actually saw her bedroom. So those are the only ones I can think of. Can you think of some more? Folks, all these questions and answers, they are on the Mayberry Facts there at mayberry.info, and it is a wiki like Wikipedia. So it's like you can actually sign up to be a member of the wiki, and you can change these. You can fix the answers. You can add to the answers and help me provide more and more information. Got two more questions. All right, so next up. What was it that Andy and Barney thought Aunt B's marmalade smelled like? Remember that? That was after she had been making those bad old kerosene cucumbers. All right, so what was it that Andy and Barney thought it smelled like, the marmalade she'd been cooking? Barney asked Andy if he'd been painting. Remember that? But he didn't specify exactly what he thought he was smelling. Must have been smelling turpentine or something like that is what I think it was. But he didn't specify exactly what it was, but he did think Andy had been painting. And he might have thought it was paint thinner or paint itself or maybe some mineral spirits or something else that you use when you're painting. Then Andy thought the smell was something like model airplane glue. You know, he thought maybe Opie had been there, which prompted Barney to ask ammonia. So they couldn't figure out what this smelled like, Aunt Bee's marmalade. Finally, Andy wondered aloud, I wonder if that gas stove's leaking. That's where that comes from. That last guess wasn't too likely since the stove was electric, as we just said. So those are some of the examples of things. And you'll remember Andy opened it up and found it. You know, it was Aunt Bee's marmalade. So they went from everything from ammonia to airplane glue to maybe turpentine or something like that. Great, great episode. Great ending there of that episode. All right. And our final question, our final answer, whichever way you want to look at it. All right. I've noticed Aunt Bee sings Chinatown in several episodes. How many was it? Aunt Bee sang Chinatown in several episodes. How many did she do that? Well, I think you'll find that there are three. Okay. There's three. Aunt Bee's Medicine Man, Aunt Bee the Swinger, and Aunt Bee's Restaurant. And the last, she confides to Andy that that is her favorite song. Okay, so that may be why she sang it. Chinatown. So Aunt Bee's Medicine Man, which is the one we all tend to remember. Okay, she's sitting there going, dun, 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 bouncing up and down. You hear that? You can see her bouncing there on the and playing the keyboard or the piano. That is awesome, by the way. Anyway, so it's Aunt Bee the Swinger. She also did the song and Aunt Bee's Restaurant, which was a Chinese restaurant. Makes sense. Chinatown. Folks, I hope you enjoyed some of this. This is Aunt Bee, Just the Facts. It's always fun for me to just go and relive some of these moments. I hope you guys enjoy them. There's all kinds of facts out there on the website. I want to invite you to go and check it out, and I'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions, you can send them in, and we'll try to add them to something like this. We'll add them to the facts page so more people can know the answers. But folks, I always enjoy hearing from you. You can call me at 888-684-8415. Or you can send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. Just as a quick note, there won't be a live episode. May not be an episode at all next week. I'm going to be heading to Mount Airy and celebrating Betty Lynn's 90th birthday in Mount Airy. So I'll give you a full report when we get back. So until next time, folks, y'all have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs.